Hello, this is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. We're going to talk baseball with Garrett Kosis. Garrett is a junior first baseman. He is from Omaha. Off to a great start. He's hitting 315. He's got 10 home runs, which is already the most for a Shocker since Alec Bohm hit 16 back in 2018. Garrett also leads the American Athletic Conference with a slugging percentage of 836, which is pretty absurd. Do you know how to calculate slugging percentage? I had to look it up.
I honestly have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think it's really important. Other than that, that means that you're hitting the ball quite often and you're hitting for extra base power, which is also really nice. All right, Garrett, you wear number 29. Is there any significance to that number?
When I showed up to campus my freshman year, that's what was in my locker. So I've just rolled with it since then.
So no choice. That's the way it worked. It was there and you liked it.
Yes, sir.
All right. It's worked out well. You played for the Glacier Pilots in Anchorage in 2018. Tell us about your Alaska experience. What was that like?
It was pretty crazy. It was the whole season I was supposed to go to like North Carolina or something. And then I was given the opportunity to go to Alaska, like right before the summer was like here. And I was like, yeah, I might as well. And it was crazy. It's basically just living out in the wilderness. Like I saw a moose out there. I saw like bald eagles. I saw a whale. It was crazy just being able to see all that stuff. And we even played games like at midnight because it never gets dark there. It's sunny the whole time, and it was a great experience. It was a lot of fun, met a lot of really good people, and just got to experience like a whole different part of the world.
Yeah, definitely. Did you do any hunting, any fishing, outdoor kind of stuff?
I went hiking. I didn't really go hunting or fishing or anything, but my family came and we went on like a little like day cruise, which was pretty cool. We got to see some glaciers and stuff, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. Zip lining. It was cool.
I've seen a moose in the wild in Colorado. I don't know if people from this part of the country appreciate how massive those animals are. They are really,
oh my goodness,
really huge.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to give them their space because those things can mess you up real quick.
Definitely. You don't want to end up on YouTube being run over by a moose.
Exactly.
Okay. Last summer you won the Sunflower Collegiate League Home Run Derby. What did you do with the championship belt?
Right now it's in my room. It was in the locker room for a little while. It's just one of those things that it's cool to have. I'm thinking about bringing it back to the locker room for guys like Paxton and whoever wins like player of the game, just have them wear it, you know, just something cool to wear. It's a really nice belt. So it's just chilling in my room right now.
Do you ever use it like as a trump card? You're trying to decide where to go out for lunch and you say, well, why don't we let the guy with the championship belt decide where we're going?
No. Normally Ross Cadena picks where we go out to eat. Me and Paxton like to decide, and then Ross always has something else in mind that we have to go with. So I don't really think there's anything that will give me the power to choose exactly where we go. So
Ross is the boss of that decision. Do you guys have a favorite lunch spot that you go to?
We like to get like burgers from Bricktown, and we like to go to just, I'm trying to think, like it's no like specific spot. It's just Buffalo Wild Wings, Bricktown, Fuzzy's, just whatever he's up to.
Sure. Good choices. All right. You are a native of Omaha. Did you go to College World Series games growing up?
Oh yeah. My best friend growing up, his dad actually had season tickets. So, we would go, you know, whenever we could. His dad had like a constant tailgate going, and growing up, there's always this big tournament, like a travel ball tournament that we were always in. So when we weren't playing in that, we were down at the College World Series watching.
Do you have a favorite College World Series player, memory, team?
I remember Jackie Bradley Jr. for South Carolina. I got a got to meet him. And I just thought it was really cool to see him like in person and talk to him for a little bit. I don't remember exactly how old I was. I was probably like 12 or 13. And it was just really cool because he was out there doing really well and back-to-back years. And that's like what I wanted to do growing up. And it was just really cool to be able to meet him and see how well he did and all that.
Do you have any fond memories of Rosenblatt Stadium, or are you too young for that?
Oh, no. I actually liked Rosenblatt a lot more because the tailgating, like, it was more of like a community experience, if that makes any sense. It was like a bunch of open grass and like people just pull their pickups up and there'd be just, you know, lawn games. Like my friend's dad always brought his washer set, if you know what that is.
Sure.
We'd play washers all the time and it was really fun. Yeah, it's not that much different, but it's not so downtown. It's just kind of like open area, and it was a lot of fun.
Definitely. There have been a lot of prominent Nebraskans who have played for the Shockers, especially recently. Tell us how you ended up here.
I went on the visit here. I visited a few other schools. When I came here, I just saw, you know, how storied the program was, how successful people are here. And it just really stuck to me. It just seemed like a place that I could really, you know, be myself at and have success. And I think I made the right choice.
So you were a freshman 2018, Alec Bohm, now with the Phillies, was on that team. Grayson Genista was on that team. They were both juniors. So you were around two successful players, two draft picks. What did you learn being around those two?
I mean, the biggest thing I learned is just how to get to work. Bohm was a guy that was, you know, he liked to mess around, have fun, but every day he was at the field working on something, whether it was defense. I mean, he always had a really good swing, but he would hit a lot defense. You know, he got after it in the weight room, and it was just an eye-opening experience to just see him day in and day out, just show up, put in all that work, and it's really cool to see it pay off for him. And he kind of took me under his wing, and I'm really lucky to, you know, have that experience of just seeing how he went about every day. And it's just really cool.
Is there typically a learning curve, learning adjustment from a person who thinks they worked really hard in high school, but then they get to college and they have to learn how to work hard all over again?
Yeah, I mean, college is a different beast just because, you know, the school's ramped up and practices are normally a lot longer in college than you had in high school. And then you got all this, like, free time without your family that, you know, you could either spend just messing around or getting better. And Wichita State, like, I think just as a whole, our baseball team, you know, everybody works really hard and people show up and see the returners working hard as freshmen that they want to just model themselves after that in order to have success. But I think, yeah, there is a definite learning curve for freshmen that show up and they see like what it takes, you know, after a long practice, like 4-hour practice at the field, there'll be guys that go into the cage and hit. And, you know, when you're a freshman, you're like, geez, like I need to eat and take a nap. But, you know, it's pretty motivating to see people who have done it and have success and just be able to just do it with them. And, you know, it's once it starts to pay off for you, then, you know, it's not that big of a deal at all.
Sophomore year, you started 11 games from late March to mid-April, and then injury ended your season. So you went from very little playing time early in the season to starting a good amount, and then you were out of the lineup. How do you deal with that those up and downs, that roller coaster that season?
Yeah, that was a crazy year for me. Obviously, I wanted to start right away, but I didn't win the starting spot. You know, that is what it is, but I just kept working, you know, just putting in the work day in and day out, and finally got a chance to play, and I just kind of ran with it. And I had a lot of success and I was having a lot of fun. And then all of a sudden my knee just kind of blew up when I slid into second base against Central Florida. That April. And it was tough. It was tough, but, me and Dan Cahill, our trainer, just got after it, you know, that whole summer I stayed here and would just go do rehab and go do it like one session of it with him. And then I had two sessions of it, like by myself in my house every day. And I basically just didn't really think about, you know, what I missed out on. I was just thinking about getting better and getting back better than I ever was. And Dan did a really good job helping me get there. And I think it helped me in the long run just to kind of live in the moment and not like let things get too out of control. Just enjoy each day and have fun each day.
When I talked to the coaches to prepare for this, they talked about you being really putting in the work, being consistent with your routine. They talked about learning how to handle failure, you know, overcoming a bad at bat, overcoming a bad swing, and those kind of things. Take us through that a little bit. Is there a, you know, a lesson that you learned, something they said, a light bulb moment? How do you kind of, you know, build up that resume of doing the right things?
Honestly, just growing up with my dad was the hardest work I've ever seen. You know, he would work 9-10 hour days and come home and either drive me to practice or throw a batting practice to me in my backyard. And I guess it just kind of just was imprinted onto me to, if I want something, I got to work for it. And when I got to college, I saw guys like Bohm and Ritter and how hard they worked. And, you know, it was just kind of like, if I want to be good, that's what I got to do. And so I guess that's to answer your question. I don't know. I guess I've just been really lucky to see people who work hard, have success. And, you know, just, that's just kind of like my way of getting there is just working hard. 'Cause that's just what I've seen growing up and all that. But like handling failure, that's something that I'm still, you know, like learning how to do. And it used to be like freshman year, if I, you know, I would get a chance to pinch hit, I would, you know, strike out or fly out or not have a great at bat. And it would just bug me for the next week, just that one at bat or one pitch. And it just kind of, you know, it kind of wore me down. And then sophomore year, I got my chance to start and I had success. And then my knee blew out and, you know, that wasn't fun. But like I said before, that kind of taught me just to, you know, just live in the moment and enjoy baseball while I can, because you never know if it's going to be your last day playing. And it's hard to explain that. I don't think there was like a certain moment, but just being around guys like Wedge and Scooter and Sirianni and just talking to them day after day. And, you know, Wedge always says baseball is a game of failure. So you just got to accept that. But if there's something that you feel like you're doing wrong or like you could do better, you got to recognize that and take that with you. But other than that, just, you know, just forget about it and move on. If you swing at a bad pitch during that bat, be like, dang, like that was a bad swing, but I'm going to get him to this one. And it's just kind of that confidence of being around Wedge. You know, it kind of rubs off on you, and I guess imprinted that confidence into me. It's a good feeling to have.
You mentioned your dad, Brent. He played baseball at Iowa State. Having a dad who has done that, how did that shape you and where you've gotten to?
he's always been the guy that's like, you know, go do what you want to do, but you got to put in the work to be good at it. He never forced me to play baseball or anything like that. I played all kinds of sports growing up, but baseball was always something that I really enjoyed. It might be because of College World Series in Omaha, and I was always the best at it. You know, basketball and stuff, okay at, but I, you know, there were a lot of guys that were better than me. And I guess just growing up hearing his stories about playing baseball and all the friends he had, it was just pretty inspiring to, you know, want to go through the same thing and just see how far it can take me. And, you know, me and my dad spent a lot of hours together, him throwing BP to me. He even built like a cage in our backyard. I mean, it's just a lot of memories that me and my dad have over baseball, which is pretty special.
You mentioned the coaching staff at Wichita State and kind of the mood, the vibe mm-hmm. that they have established there. How do you describe that to people?
It's like when Wedge walks into a room, you know, it's, you feel it. He has a certain presence, and it's just, you can just feel like his energy, and it's special. It's kind of hard to put into words. It's just like, he's intense, and you know that he's always there, like rooting for you. And same with the rest of our coaches. They expect perfection, but they know that it's not obtainable. And we strive for perfection every day, and our practices, you know, he has it set up. So we have a great chance to get better every day. And it's just, he just instills a mindset into us that, you know, we're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Like we can go out there and beat anybody, but we got to do it the right way. We got to put in the work, and, you know, all of our coaches are there to help us. And it's a great, great setup we have with these coaches. They really know what they're doing, and it's an honor to, you know, play under them.
The Shockers are 12-8. They've won 4 in a row entering conference play this week at Houston starting on Thursday. Are the Shockers finding their groove?
Yeah, I think everything's starting to come together. Obviously, our pitching has been outstanding these past few games, which is really good to see, and our defense has been really good too, and our bats are hot, which is also really good. So right now we're playing really good Shocker baseball, and we're just gonna continue it in on to Houston, and, you know, hopefully the rest of the year we work as hard as anybody. And, you know, a lot of the guys just need to understand that and trust their work, and I think they're starting to, and it's a really good thing to see.
You're hitting the ball really well. Describe your hitting philosophy. Are you someone who, you know, watches a lot of video and grinds over things? Or are you more just get up there and see ball, hit ball, I guess, as they say?
I try to just go up there and just try to just think about just hammering the baseball. Just, you know, I don't like to think about too much. I don't really like to think about anything at all other than just hitting the ball hard. Because when I start to think, it starts to, you know, affect everything, and it's not as good. When I go up there just kind of mindless, just trying to hit the ball hard, that's when I'm my best. And it's just all like the reps and all that allows me to do that. And it's been paying off.
Are you chatty when somebody reaches first base? Do you ever try to distract the runner? Maybe talk about football or current events? How's it go over there when somebody gets on base?
If they talk to me, I'll talk to them, or if I know them, I'll talk to them. But, you know, if it's a close game, I'm not really worried about them too much. I'm just focused on the situation in the game and all that. But if we're blowing out a team or something like that, or if they talk to me, I'll say something to them. But, you know, during the game, I don't really care to talk to anybody, you know.
Do you have a favorite professional first baseman, somebody that you really admire?
I really like guys that are like playing right now. I really like Freddie Freeman and Joey Votto. I grew up a huge David Ortiz fan, just an absolute huge David Ortiz fan. I would always emulate his swing playing wiffle ball in the backyard. And, you know, it was really fun to watch him play with like Manny Ramirez and Pedroia back in the day. And that's what I grew up watching. Just kind of, you know, that's my guy.
He was a good one. Definitely.
Yeah.
People often regard first base as a place to hide maybe the weaker defender, a big bat. Is that a fair characterization of the demands at first base, or do you resent that a little bit?
I mean, people can say what they want. It's, you know, you still got to go out there and play defense, but I mean, obviously that's normally where they stick the chubby guy, or, you know, the guy that's maybe not as gifted athletically, but it is what it is. I take pride in defense, and I really enjoy playing, you know?
Yeah. I always think we don't think much about defense at first base until there's a problem over there. And then you say, yeah. Oh, I really wish we had a better defensive first baseman. So I think it's probably more important than people give it credit for. Who's the best video game player in your group of friends on the Shocker baseball team?
Ooh, I'd have to say Jacob Lindemann. It doesn't really matter the video game. Lindemann's just, you know, he's just gifted with his fingers, I guess. He's really good at video games. It doesn't really matter which one.
What are the video games of choice for this current generation?
We like to play Call of Duty. Yeah. I think some people play, like, you know, all of us play like MLB The Show or NBA or NFL, like those type of games. But when we all want to play together, I think Call of Duty is the go-to, because there's, you know, 6 to 8 of us that can all play together at once and just hang out and have fun, especially during the pandemic when we're not really all supposed to be grouped up. It's just kind of a way to just hang out and be able to talk to each other and have fun and relax.
Corrigan Bartlett has been a nice addition to this team, transfer from St. Louis University. He's hitting .408. Tell us a little bit about Corrigan and what he's added to this lineup.
He's added, we call him the walking hit. It's crazy. He always finds a way to get it done. And he's also one of those guys that puts in the work. He just kind of showed up to campus and just fit right in. You know, we all hang out, and he's a hard worker, and he's just, you know, it's crazy what he's been able to do so far this year. And he's going to keep it up because of the work he puts in. It's really impressive to watch, and he's a huge addition to our lineup. I mean, just one of the best bats in our conference for sure. And we're really lucky to have him.
Paxton Wallace is also kind of an addition. He didn't play last year because of a back injury. He's back playing third base. He's also off to a great start, hitting .346. He's got 4 home runs. Having Paxton back, what has that meant to this team?
Another guy that's huge to have in the lineup. He has the ability to change the game with his bat. I mean, it's crazy how hard he hits the ball and how good of a hitter he is. It's, you know, he hits 3, I hit 4. And sometimes I'm just on deck, you know, timing off the pitcher, but I'll see him, you know, hammer a ball, and I just sit there just thinking, just wow, like that. It's crazy. His bat speed and the way he impacts the ball is so impressive. And I mean, everybody knows it, and it's really cool to watch. He had a really great week this past week, and it's really good to see. He's another guy that puts in the work day in and day out. And, you know, he always has a great attitude, and it's really good to see.
Shockers start conference play, and that's basically all they have the rest of the season. It's kind of different this year. We've got 4-game series. We're going to be playing 8 in a row against Houston, which is kind of odd. What's different about conference games versus the non-conference?
Conferences, you know, everything's kind of anteed up a little bit. It's a dogfight out there every game. Anybody in our conference can beat anybody else on any given day. So it's just really important to show up and play hard each and every day, which everybody does. And with all these like restrictions and no midweeks and all that, it's going to make things really interesting with these 4-game series. One weekend can really make or break a team in that sense. And it's going to be really fun. It's going to be really fun. We got 8 games with Houston to start off, which is, I don't think I've ever played 8 games in a row against a team before. but we're for sure going to get to know each other really well. It'll be fun. We get, we get to play there, you know, hopefully take three or four from them. And then I'm really excited to play in the Riverfront Stadium when we get back here. And I think that'll be really cool. You know, way to just set the tone for the rest of conference play.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten about that. Have you been down there to check it out at all?
I haven't like visited it, but I've driven past it, and yeah, that place looks special.
Yeah, April 10th, Shockers in Houston will be the first event in Riverfront Stadium. Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.